This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. Welcome to The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin on Zoomer Radio, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you this morning on this final Saturday of summer?
Good.
How are you, Charlie?
Point. I hadn't thought of that, Dean. Yes, yes, yes. Well, it does feel like it might be the final day of summer just because the temperatures are very crisp at my house this morning. It was about 8 degrees. I don't know what it is now. It's probably gone up a tiny bit, but beautiful. Again, blue skies over me, no clouds. Nice. There's starting to see some fall color. Early for some of these trees, but nevertheless, yes, we are getting some yellows and oranges and reds are starting to pop. So yeah, season is changing, no question.
Indeed. Yeah, fall arrives, autumn arrives on Monday. So this is the last full weekend of, but our final garden show of the summer of 2025.
Well, happy summer, everybody. Here, you want to hear, you give the numbers. I'm going to tell you a funny story about something I did this summer.
I would love to give the numbers. Yeah, we would love for you to give us a call. If you live in Toronto, here's the number, 416-360-0740. Or if you live outside Toronto, but still within the province of Ontario, here's the number, 1-866-740-4740. And do let our operator, Owen, know if you're a first-time caller. And then he will give you the garden wings, which I had here a second ago. And now I have lost because I hit the wrong button. But I will find them in a second here. Yeah, anyway, call often, call early. And remember, one question per call, okay?
Right. Well, at least we're still connected. You didn't press the button to disconnect us.
No, I didn't.
That's
good. And like I said, I had it here a second ago, and I just – here we are. There we are. I knew I had it.
There it is.
There we are. They're the garden wings. Would love. We gave out a lot last week.
We did.
I think last week we gave it at least three.
And, you know, it's a very good day to call as a first-time caller to get your wings because this is the perfect time of year to do a flyover of your garden and maybe take a peek at some of your neighbor's gardens. It's just one of those things where you can really sit back and be analytical about, you know, so often we get so excited, we plant everything for the spring and we have all that flowering bulbs and, you know, all the forsythia and the early magnolias and all those things are gorgeous and we love them. And then by now, it can be a little bit sad in our gardens, a little bit like tired. So not a bad idea to look around, look at your garden and say, where do I need some pops of color? And what am I going to, you know, what's going to provide that color for me?
But speaking of which, I did a very late summer, fall approaching kind of thing this week because I did purchase a couple of big pots of mums and the big ones that have three different colors in them.
Oh my.
And so I bought those ones. They're sitting on the front step now and I bought the tightest ones I could find.
Good idea.
They were like not even open yet, but you could barely see the color so that I could get the most time out of them.
Very clever. And very unmanly of you, just so you know. I mean, I don't mean to be stereotypical here, but you know, men are the ones that always fall for the wide open blooms.
The big wide open ones.
All the color. Oh, it's so pretty. It's gorgeous. My wife is going to love this. And then they buy that was fully open. And of course, you and I know that those flowers aren't going to get better. They're just going to go down. So that's why you do want them. Cracking color, we call that when you buy them. So because you can see what color they're going to be, but they're not actually open. So
yeah. So those are the two pots that I bought were that. And I've always purchased those ones because, again, I want to maximize my bloom time on my step. I thought, you know, so some of them were really, really open. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, they should be discounted because I'm not going to get as much bloom time out of those.
Yes, but not everybody knows that. And now that we've talked about it on the radio, more people know it.
More people.
So speaking of color and bloom time, I, as you know, I always plant some vegetables, and I plant all of them from seed. I get seeds from different seed suppliers. And this year has been a very challenging year because of the lack of water. So I've been, you know, watering with the hose and the rain barrel water a lot to keep things going. But for the first time, I planted a sweet pepper. So, it's called Jimmy Nardello. I'm going to show you on my little camera. Oh,
it almost looks like it would be hot.
Exactly. It's this long, skinny, looks like it'd be a hot, really hot pepper, but it's not. It's sweet. And the story behind it is cool. I got it from a company called West Coast Seeds. Like I said, I've never planted it before. I will just give you a quick review on my experience with this plant. It is very prolific. So one plant, it started producing fruit early. I've been eating these peppers for a couple of weeks now. So ahead of the big bell peppers. I also plant the bell, you know, the red sweet bell peppers, red night.
Sorry, you're telling me that you planted these in the last few weeks?
No. These went in the spring. I started the seeds in the spring. I've had them going all summer. Peppers, you know, first they flower, then they produce green peppers, and then you wait for them to be red or yellow or orange. So I've been picking red peppers off these plants. I have three plants for a couple of weeks. Okay. But I've only been picking the big peppers off plants for like a week. So what I'm trying to say is these bloomed earlier or produced earlier in the season. They produce lots and lots. But the challenge is, what do you do when you've got like 200 of these little peppers and they're all
fresh? You give them to your co-host.
I mail them to Collingwood, except you're of no fixed address these days. So I wouldn't even know where to mail them. But then, you know, so what I did, this is the stupid part. This is where I'll tell you how stupid I am. I traditionally, when I have too many peppers, I roast them. So I cut them in half, I take out the seeds, I stick them in the oven, and I roast them,
of course,
and then peel off the skin, and then you've got this beautiful, yummy pepper flesh. Well, that didn't work. These are way too small. They are not roastable. And once I went back to the package and took a read, reminding myself, the package says these are heirloom Italian frying peppers with incredibly sweet flavor, both fresh and cooked. And then I started reading the story behind. So these peppers, these seeds were smuggled to North America by a guy named Jimmy Nardello.
I think you say it like this, Jimmy Nardello.
You got
it. I think
it.
That's how you say it.
So yeah, he was that kind of a guy. He smuggled a lot of things, including these seeds. To North America. And then they've been slowly gaining popularity. Right. And they're lovely, lovely, lovely peppers for anybody who wants to consider growing them next year, but only plant one plant.
I think your co-host has his hand up. I think your co-host would like to plant those.
Yeah.
And Owen, our operator, wants to plant them as well.
So for sure. Yeah. Look, he's such a gardener when he's not singing and dressing up in suits.
There's a lot of that going around these days.
Yeah, you too. You've been doing a lot of singing, I hear.
Busy week in Port Dover. I'm broadcasting from Brantford today, and in Port Coburn in a couple of weeks. Getting to see different parts of the province that I don't normally see. Lots of corn.
Lots of corn and
soybean planted. It's quite lovely. And as you said earlier, you can start to see the fall colors just starting to creep through. Not in abundance, which is fine. Like, I'm happy to wait for it.
Oh, it's only September. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is starting to tiptoe in, I think.
And remember, partly why this is happening early is because many trees are very stressed from a very dry summer and hot. Gotcha. Hot, dry.
Yeah. Well, and I just want to, again, I picked these tips up from you, and I do want to just make a note that those mums that I purchased the other day, when I got them home, I marched downstairs to the dehumidifier, I took that bucket, and that's what I poured into the mums. And so
good man.
That's it. That's one of my Charlie Dobbin tricks.
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind, you know, the stuff that comes out of our dehumidifiers is basically like distilled water. Like there's right. no nutrient in it the way your municipal water would actually have. I mean, some nutrients you probably don't want, like fluoride, mm-hmm. but then it would also might have some calcium or magnesium or something that's not so bad. But right. yeah, still great. Never, never, never waste water.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm going to give the numbers out one more time. I think you had an announcement, but we'll probably go to break and I'll let you do that announcement when we come back. Mm-hmm. Again, the numbers to call, we have lots of room on the lines right now. And so that's why you want to call early, okay, because don't wait till the end of the show. And it's 416-360-0740. That's our Toronto number. Outside Toronto, still within the province, Brantford, Port Dover, Port Coburn, Prince Edward County, wherever you are, give us a call, 1-866-740-4740. We will be right back with much more of The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio on this final weekend of summer. Weather has been beautiful. I think for a lot of people, they prefer this weather, I think, Charlie. A lot of people that I've talked to prefer this weather because it's really easy to work outside. It's moderate.
I was going to say, it's great working weather. I mean, yesterday was lovely, but the last couple of days before that at my place, it was summer. It was hot. It was step into the sun and just started started panting like a puppy dog. I was, just too hot. But this is it. You got transplanting to do. You got planting to do.
Now it's time.
Even certain amount of pruning can happen at this point, not hard pruning, but shaping kind of pruning. Obviously, we can always be weeding and we can always be removing anything that's dead or, not growing in the right direction on some of our plants. So, yeah, I got a full day ahead of me because I've got all kinds of things that need some attention that haven't been getting the attention they require.
Okay, good advice. Numbers again, 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. We're going to go to Bill, who's calling from Hanover. And Bill, I understand that you, my friend, are a first-time caller.
Yes, I am.
Well, I'm going to give you the garden wings then. There you go.
Good morning, Welcome. Bill. Welcome.
Good morning, Charlie. Welcome to the show. Thank you.
And what do you got for Charlie there, Bill?
Well, I've got this parasite that attacks my onions and my garlic, and I don't know how it gets in it, but it starts somewhere in the middle, and it chews up the witch's hat on top of the garlic, and it gets in the onions and drill holes in it. And I've tried just about everything mildly to try and get rid of it, and nothing works. It's everywhere, and it's been there for a long time.
Right. So you know what it is? It's called onion maggot. It is a little tiny, tiny worm or caterpillar, if you will, that lives in the soil. And as soon as you plant garlic or onions or any of those yummy sort of underground root, bulbous root structured plants, it just starts burrowing in and starts eating. Like you said, it feels like they're coming from the inside out, but actually they enter when they're very small. So they leave a tiny little entrance hole, but then they destroy the bulbs. They are completely, there's nothing to harvest when you've got onion maggots, unfortunately. So what does that mean? It means you can't grow onions in that spot ever again. You've got to wait. You've got to come up with a new location. If you insist on planting garlic and onions, move them somewhere else. The other thing I recommended to a friend of mine who had this problem was don't plant them as a plantation. Don't plant them all together. Look around your garden. You probably have some spots in amongst some of your perennial flowers or your shrubbery or whatever. You've got some spots. Start planting individual onions and garlics around the garden sporadically. It's not going to maybe be the best looking design in the world, though it's still a good looking plant, but don't put them in groups. Cause as soon as you got groups, you got problems. That's when we put, I'm trying to remember, we call it homogenous planting can lead to very bad long-term effects. Good examples are things like the Norway maples in Toronto. They were all planted in the 40s, and they're all really old and dying at the same time. Or they get infested by, you know, some invasive pest, and they all go down. So try and avoid planting all your same varieties together.
Does that help there, Bill?
Yes, that's very well. Good advice. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, thanks very much, Bill.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, I wish I could come up with something better. There's no insecticide. It's just stay away from that part of the garden for the next, preferably 5 or more years before you try again planting a few.
Okay, great. Okay, thanks again. This is like an incredible morning here on the Garden Show because I'm looking at every caller on the board so far, our first-time callers, which I don't remember in recent memory that like ever happening. So I'm just like, it's craziness.
There's a high demand for wings today.
Yeah.
This is, you know, people, they see all that drone action and they think it looks pretty fun. And they're like, I could be a drone with my wings, with my chimes.
With my wings. Yeah. Let's go to our next one. We have Barb, who's calling from my hometown of Collingwood. And so welcome to the Garden Show, Barb.
Thank you.
Morning. And
I'm going to give you your garden wings there, Barb. There you go.
Woo. There you go. Welcome, welcome. What's going on?
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question about tomato plants. I know that you say you need to rotate them. In my case, I'm on a very small lot, and I can't do that. But I wondered, could I dig out some of the soil and put new soil in?
Yeah, you'd be digging out an awful lot of soil. Barb, could you take a year and put tomatoes into large pots and give your ground a rest from the tomatoes?
Yes, I probably could do that. I never thought of that, but yes, I could.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't grow beefsteaks in a pot. You know, beefsteaks are big plants with big tomatoes, and they need a really big pot. So unless you've got, you know, the old half barrel thing, but you sort of the minimum size you do want is about the size of the half barrels that used to be very popular. So whatever size are, 20-gallon kind of size.
Oh, and, yeah, that's I may not have room for that. I don't know. I may just have to, if I just gave it a rest for a year and didn't plant anything there,
you can plant there. Maybe plant a few bean seeds, because beans are always great for rejuvenating the soil. Something that's not a member of the Solanacea family. So tomatoes, eggplants, peppers, they're all the same family. So when we're rotating all those three, rotate out of the area they've been in and do not get planted. So depending on your space and your sun and your soil, obviously carrots can be easy, peas, beans, beets, even garlic, onions, any of those things instead of tomatoes. And Barb, there are some very nice little dwarf tomatoes that have been bred, tomato plants that are bred to grow in pots. There's one that's been around for quite a long time now. It's called Patio, and it is a determinant plant, so it doesn't grow more than about 3 feet tall. It gets pretty nice tomatoes on it, and it will grow in a pot on your patio. And then there's the tiny ones, Tiny Tims, and the ones that are little cherry tomatoes.
I have some of those. I have some of those planted. They seem to be doing okay, but that's the bigger ones, the beefsteak ones that I was having trouble with. They're getting smaller every year, so.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I will try that then. Thank
all
you
right,
very much.
Good luck. Thanks Barb.
Very much. Yeah, thanks, Barb.
Now, you do notice a diminishing of your quality of your product. There's no question.
Right. Just before we go to break, this call has reminded me of something. The last two calls, really, is that I was at a location yesterday right on Lake Erie, and you had to go down a 1 kilometer path to get to this place right on the shore. And on either side, we're going through farmers' fields. And the host of this shindig that we had last night commented, he said, did you notice that on one side of the roadway is corn and on the other side of the roadway is soy? Mm-hmm. And he said, in every year they swap them. And that's an important thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Farmers learned that a long time ago. So soybeans, of course, are beans, so members of the legume family, which was one of the reasons why I suggested to Barb that she consider beans to replace her tomatoes. Beans, or any of the legumes, are magical, I think, because they're the one whole family of plants that can take nitrogen in the form of gas out of the air, because what we're breathing right now has nitrogen in it.
Yes.
They're able to convert that nitrogen gas into a usable form of nitrogen that they use for growing. So okay. You don't need to fertilize beans. They fertilize themselves. And of course, soybeans are the same. They're low impact for the farmer versus corn, which is the exact opposite. Corn sucks everything out of the soil. It gives nothing back, and it takes a lot out.
Takes a lot out. Okay. Wow. Well, we have to run to a break. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show. Numbers to call 416-360-0740, 1-866-744-740, and we are going to Sauble Beach. We have Elizabeth. Welcome. And Elizabeth, you're a first-time caller, yes?
Yes, I am.
This is great. It's okay. So cool.
There we are.
Wow, first-time lucky caller. Number three. Yeah. Welcome.
Okay. What do you got there, Elizabeth?
Well, I bought a bay laurel plant at the garden center in the spring, and I was looking at it. It's about 8 inches tall. And what I did when I brought it home is I just stuck it into a pot that I had with rosemary in it, and it's been doing great. So it's that time of year where you're kind of thinking, I got to start bringing this stuff in. So I pulled the pot. It's still in the original pot. I lifted it up, and it's got these like 5-inch long, white, beautiful looking roots growing down. And I started thinking, should I bring it indoors for the winter, or because I've heard that they grow into trees, or should I find a place outside and plant it? Will it overwinter nicely outside?
No, it will not survive in the winter. If you want to keep it alive, you're going to have to bring it in. I mean, either that or move down to, you know, South Carolina, because then it'll stay alive. It's too cold here. So yeah, no, it'll need its own pot. It sounds like it's very happy. So you've got, is your rosemary in a pot outside as well, or was it in the ground?
No, it's in a pot, and it's doing amazing as well.
Yeah, see, I leave my rosemary in a pot like year round, and it comes in for the winter and out for the summer. So it just goes in and out. Every now and then I have to give it a bigger pot. And then when the pot gets too big to deal with it on my kitchen counter, then I put it in the ground for the summer and then start again the following spring and just harvest it all in the fall. So with your bay tree and with your rosemary, both are very keepable over the winter. You need a bright sunny location in your house, southern window preferred, western as a second choice, right in the window, no curtains, no drafts, no windows open or vents blowing on them. And you will water, you won't keep them as moist in the winter as you have all summer. So you want them to really dry out between waterings. You're going to feel the soil. And as long as it's spongy and moist, don't water. Wait till it's, you know, it feels very dry to the touch, and then give a good thorough watering to each of those plants throughout the winter. So that might be every 10 days or so, depending on the temperature inside your house.
Awesome. And then can I just pick off a bay leaf as I need it?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
That's the idea. That's the idea. If you can keep it near your kitchen, then you're good to go, right?
Oh, sounds wonderful. Okay. I know what to do now. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, thanks for calling. I'm
thanks
just
very much.
Salivating thinking about it.
Yeah, you know what? I have not grown up ever with fresh bay leaves. I've always had the dry.
Yeah, they're a bit unusual. They're not. Yeah, that's the thing. It's a tropical. It's like an olive plant, right? Have you seen olive trees for sale lately in the garden centers? Yeah. So that happens. Yeah, there's some sort of fun things happening with. Plants that people, you know, want to try different things. They've already done the hibiscus, so now they want to try bay leaf. And
that's great.
The culinary is great too.
Yeah, that's great. No, I love it. I love it. We our numbers again, 416-360-0740. Don't be shy, give us a call. Also 1-866-740-4740 is the 1-800, the 1-866 number if you're calling from outside Toronto, but still within Ontario. Our next caller is from Mississauga. We have Dory on the line, who's our first non-first-time caller this morning. So welcome back to the Garden Show, Dory.
Hi, good morning, Charlie.
Morning.
This is the second time for me to call. I called last week as well. I'm calling about my grass in big patches and my lawn. There's just no grass left because I think the heat we had all summer did this. And I'm wondering if this is a good time to sow seed.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, okay, so did you water at all this summer, your lawn?
Oh, yes, I did lots of watering. And it's only lately that it's gone like that. I stopped watering because it wasn't growing too well. And now I got big brown patches of soil. So what should I do? That's my question.
So one thing you might want to really look at is why the grass died in those areas. If you were watering and the grass survived in other areas, is it particularly shady there, or is it beneath trees, or is there any?
Yeah, it's a bit shady. Yes, it's a bit shady.
Yeah, yeah. So shade is challenging to grow lawns, though. In the heat, many lawns have thrived in more shade rather than more sun this summer. Though typically we think of lawns as loving the sun and loving the heat in general. If you have some patchy grass out there now that's still, you haven't raked it out and you can still see it there, do a little tugging on the blades of brown grass and see if there's any roots attached. You may have had an infestation of grubs that would be baby grubs right now, which would have hatched from eggs that were deposited by Japanese beetles or one of the really invasive beetles that wreak havoc on our lawns. And so if that's the case, you may, if you suspect grubs, there's no point in putting a lot of money and effort into growing grass that's not going to actually grow with the grubs there. And those grubs will be there until next summer if you don't do something about them.
Okay.
So consider your local garden center for nematodes or something called Grub Be Gone. Follow the instructions exactly on the packages and you will be successful. And then once the grubs are under control, assuming you have grubs, then the next thing, of course, is seed, a blend of grass seed that is designed for your conditions. So if you've got a half day sun, half day shady area, buy grass seed that will survive and thrive in your location. There's so many great blends out there. Don't cheap out, spend the money, get a good quality grass seed blend, but make sure it's designed for your conditions. I mean, it's like you'll see Boulevard grass seed mix for those hot, dry spots. You'll see Playground mix for the really well-trafficked areas. And then you'll see part sun, part shade blends for probably what you need. You'll need some topsoil, you'll need a rake, and you'll need a sprinkler, but you should be good to go.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call there, Dory. Yeah, yeah. I know Dory's pain. I know that I have some shady areas that it just doesn't seem like anything wants to grow because it's in the shade of a big spruce tree.
Oh yeah, you're not going to get a lot of grass growing there.
No. That's what I figure. I got to come up with another solution.
Well, think about things that thrive in the shade. I mean. Don't try and grow grass. Make a garden. If it's like sort of a corner off the side of the spruce tree, think about, you who live in Collingwood, get out on the beach there, find yourself a nice, beautiful piece of driftwood, bring that up, make yourself a beautiful little sort of cozy garden tucked up beside that spruce, use the driftwood as a feature in that garden, and then consider some of the shade-tolerant plants like ferns and hostas and bleeding hearts and, oh gosh, there's all kinds of them, epimedium. There's lots and lots of them.
Okay, very good. Good advice. Going to go to our next caller, Karen, who's calling from Dunnville. Welcome to the Garden Show, Karen.
Good morning. How are you both?
Morning.
We're well. What is on your brain, Karen?
Okay. I have a neighbor who only comes, we live on Lakeshore Road near Dunnville, and we have a neighbor who only comes to their house or cottage throughout the summer here and there, but he lives in BC. Now, he's left out about a 70-year-old Easter cactus that is thriving in dappled sun amongst his evergreens. And he forgot to do anything with it, and he went back to BC, and I've offered to bring it in. I can bring it into my place. I'll keep it in a cool room with the same sort of diffuse sunlight. My question is, Charlie, you always talk about submerging a plant to get any bugs out. Now, what do I do with a Easter cactus?
Well, it's is it in a pretty big pot?
It's probably about a 10 or 12 inch, and it's plastic.
Right.
A heavy plastic pot.
And has it been sitting on the ground or up on some kind of a pedestal?
Right. It's been sitting on a pedestal amongst evergreens. It has dappled sun that comes through all day long, and it's probably enjoying these cool nights. I'm so afraid of killing it. Apparently, it was given to his mother when he was born.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
that's a heck of a responsibility.
I'm a little scared.
Yeah, a little nervous, I'm sure. So, okay, yeah. I wouldn't be overly concerned about flushing the soil on this plant. There's probably virtually nothing, moved into the pot necessarily. If it's in a nice garden and it's up above the ground particularly, I would give it a good thorough wash, though, just with a hose, like a spritz. You want to make sure that you're not bringing in any little critters. Spiders sometimes come in. Sometimes earwigs will come in. So it's just in an effort to kind of blow anybody off who's on there.
Yes.
Leave it outside.
We are spider country.
I know. When you're near water,
right,
you're always
Lake,
spider.
Lake Erie with the shallow water. We are spider country. So, that's what my concern was. I don't want to soak this plant because it's obviously loving being not watered very often.
That's right. And when you bring it in, a cool room is a great idea. I wouldn't so much emphasize the diffuse light, though, because remember, outside diffuse light is very different from indoor diffuse light. Once we get into, winter and we've got our windows that have all this UV protection and all this other stuff going on, and light levels, of course, are much different in the winter. They're much less intense. So I would be more inclined to move it into that cool location, but I would be inclined to leave the curtains open and leave it bright in that room.
Oh yeah. We face south and it's just window. So
sweet.
There is an overhang above the room that I'm thinking. So it doesn't get the sun doesn't shine right on the window, but boy, it's close.
Yeah, nice and bright and lots of reflected light, which matters too, right? And remember to turn the plant, put it on your calendar every Sunday or Saturday, turn the plant 180 degrees, you want it to be as balanced as possible when it grows. And send pictures. It sounds great. I love the sound of it.
Well, he's told me how wonderfully it blooms. And I'm going, oh my God, I'm scared now. But thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, thanks for calling. And when you're sending pictures to him blooming, send them to us too.
That's great. Yeah, thanks very much for the call there, Karen. Let's jump right into our next call. We have Mike from London. Welcome to the Garden Show, Mike.
Hi, Dean.
Hey there, Mike.
Morning.
Hey,
how are you guys? Good?
Great.
Good.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for taking my call. My mom got a present, one of those bulbs in the wax. You've talked about them before. They get a nice big orange flower on it on a stalk with no leaves.
Yep.
Amaryllis.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I took that bulb. It was just about dead. In the spring, Mom was going to throw it away. I put it outside, put it in a little pot, and it's doubled in size. It grew great big rabbit ear leaves on it.
Nice.
Big, long, green, about 2 inches, 3 inches wide, and about a foot and a half long. It's got about eight of those on it. Now what do I do, Charlie?
All right. Get out your pen. Everybody, pens and paper. I'm going to say this once. No, I'll probably say it more than once, Mike. But to answer your question, I think Dean and I are both in the same situation as you. We have pots outside with amaryllis bulbs in them with those big green leaves sticking up out of them. So what are we going to do? Well, I'm leaving mine outside for at least probably another week or more. I don't even mind if it gets a very light frost, like 1 or 2 degrees Celsius. And so far, I don't see any of that coming in my forecast. So I'm leaving those plants outside until that happens. The little bit of a light frost will shut them down. All the leaves will turn yellow. And we will take those pots, we'll dust off all the spiders and the soil and dirt that's on the pot, leaving the bulbs obviously in the pots, take them down, stick them in the basement, dark, cool, forget about them. Just don't water them, don't do anything. If they still have green leaves, you can cut them off or you can leave them on, but just take those bulbs in the house before they die in a hard frost and put them in the dark and forget about them. And then about 8 weeks from the date you put them in the basement, put it on your calendar to go down and take a look, and they will just naturally start to grow again anywhere about 8 to 12 weeks after you put them in the basement. And they'll start to pop a little flower bud up out of the bulb is what you want to see. As soon as you see that, then you get all excited and you call me again and I'll tell you what to do then.
Okay. Well, that is just pretty much the easiest thing I've ever had been told what to do. The hardest part would be remembering. I just got to flip ahead of my calendar and mark it.
That's right. Exactly. Get over there and write this all down. And it's great. You'll be very pleased with yourself. Everybody's a horticulturalist when it comes to amaryllis. Trust me.
Well, I can't believe this thing. Like I say, I put it in one of those tiny little pots that just have the three little plastic hangers on them that people get with nice flowers. Yeah. You know, the hook? This thing is huge. It's bigger than a big baseball. Like, it just over doubled in size. So that's great, advice. I'll do that, and I'll let you know what happens in 8 or 10 weeks, or 12 weeks.
All right. Looking forward to it. And that's good you put it in a small pot, because that's one of the things about amaryllis. They want to be in a tight pot. And when you do plant them, as you did, you don't bury the whole bulb under the soil. You have the bulb sticking up out of the soil by about a third.
Yeah, okay, thanks very much for the call, exactly, Mike. That, because I heard you talk about it before, and I'm telling you, this thing is a monster now. It's like the moon sitting in there. It takes up over half the pot.
Great. It's good.
Thanks, Mike.
Good visuals.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Mike. Mike is our amaryllis hero on the show this week, and the amaryllis hero. Okay, here are the numbers to call, 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. You know it. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And I think we are back here on The Garden Show, here on Zoomer Radio. And we're about quarter to 10 here on this final day of summer. And let's go to our next caller. You had a quick announcement you wanted to make. Is that right, Charlie?
Yeah, exactly. Just before I forget, we all forget. Tomorrow, and this is one of your favorite things, Dean, tomorrow from 10
Let me guess. Until 4, let me guess. Succulents. Is it succulents?
It is.
Yeah.
It's the Toronto Cactus and Succulent Club. They are quite an active group. They got a lot going on and some very, very keen members. And I know this group, unlike so many hort groups, this one is a really mixed bag of membership. I think the youngest member is about 8 years old and the oldest is about 80 years old. Like, it's really a diverse, fun group. So 10 to 4 tomorrow at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, the Floral Hall, wide open to the public, free admission. Come on down. There will be 14 vendors selling cacti and succulent plants. Okay. They will mostly be small starter plants because they're much easier to transport, but I imagine there'll be some bigger ones for sale, and there'll be a show, and you will see some very beautiful big ones. And just thinking about what Karen was dealing with in Dunville with this Easter cactus.
Yes.
She would be a good person to check out this succulent show, because there's lots of experts that will be there to answer questions for any challenges that people are experiencing with succulents and cacti.
Beautiful. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Teresa on the line from Mississauga. Welcome to The Garden Show, Teresa.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Dean.
Morning.
Hi. I have a beautiful mandevilla plant outdoors. I'm sorry.
Mandevilla, I heard that, yep.
Oh, a mandevilla plant outdoors. I would like it to give it to my friend to save for the winter. And I hear an echo. I don't know why. So I like to take it out of my pot and put it in her pot. When is a good time to do it?
Oh, okay. So you've got it in a big pot outside and you want to take it out of your pot. And then she's going to bring a pot over and you're going to pop it into her pot and then she can take it home?
Yeah, because she has a beautiful sunroom. With the, so will that survive the winter indoors?
Sure, it will. What I would do, did you buy it this spring? Is it new to you, this plant?
It's new. Yes, it is, yes.
And when you bought it, was it in like a 4-inch or a 6-inch pot?
It was in a pot, but I put it in a real big pot.
Sure. So my point is that it wasn't a huge plant when you planted it. It's obviously bigger now. Get your friend to bring over preferably an 8-inch or maximum 10-inch pot,
okay.
Nice and clean. If it's an old one that she found in her garage or her shed, just wash it up so it's nice and clean,
okay.
And get yourself some fresh potting mix. So get her to bring over, you know, quality, not potting soil. Nowadays, it's all potting mix. So it's a mix of peat moss. There's usually no soil at all, really. It's peat moss and it's vermiculite and perlite and core, which is coconut fiber. And it may even have a bit of a nutrient charge. So you're not going to use any fertilizer at all. You're going to make sure that the plant, before you dig it up, is well watered. So it's nice and moist. You've got your new pot, your new soil, all nice and moist, ready to go. And then you're just going to use a sharp trowel. You probably will be cutting some roots, but you will just straight down into the pot with your trowel, cut so that you are going to lift a nice big root ball and then into the other pot and off you go. Make sure that new pot has drainage holes.
I see. Okay. And it will survive the winter.
It will. Your friend will know how to look after it in her sunroom. It'll be fine.
Okay. Does it keep flowering or does it have a resting period?
It may keep flowering. It just depends on the temperatures and the light levels, et cetera. It's likely to keep flowering, though. Not all winter. It'll probably slow down in February and then it'll perk right back up in March or April.
So can I do it now or do I have to wait until it kind of dies down?
No, I would do it now.
Oh, do it now. Okay.
Yeah, you don't want it to die down because it does not like the cold.
Oh,
it will die.
Okay, I'll do it now. Thank you very much,
Thanks
guys.
Very much,
You're
Tracy.
The best. I listen to you every single week.
Nice.
Take care.
Thanks
very
calling.
Much, Teresa. Okay, we're going to run to a break. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, we are back here on The Garden Show, and we're going to go into another first-time caller. We have Virginia on the line who's calling from Welland. How are you, Virginia?
Good, thank you. Thank you.
Good. Morning.
I'm going to give you, there are your garden wings, my dear.
Another first-time caller. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I listen all the time. Now, we have a Cortland apple tree that we had for about 15 years. It looks healthy. It's got lots of leaves, et cetera. It has flowers, makes flowers in the spring, and the apples come, but they're only small, like about an inch in diameter, and then they fall out. They fall like that. The leaves kind of curl a little bit, so we don't know what's wrong with it. We did have another apple tree nearby, so at least they're pollinating.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, so, you need that. Okay. So, and this has been going on for like 10 or more years, you said.
Yeah. We've never really gotten an apple from it.
Okay. So a couple of reasons why apples don't reach full size. One is pruning. The apple trees do need proper pruning in late winter so that we open them up. We encourage the flowering stems, not the leafy stems.
Okay. Yeah, we do
so,
prune.
Yes, okay, so very important to that. Of course, so you don't want too many apples being born on the tree because if you have tons and tons of apples, then nobody really achieves a good size. So you do want, you know, sometimes we'll even thin apples or they will drop because they will self-prune if there's just too many apples. So that can happen. Pollination, like you said, is happening. You've got two apples. They're flowering at the same time. There's insects out there, so they're doing the pollination. I would rec. Do you do a spray? Do you do the dormant spray in the spring?
No, we don't. We kind of like it natural.
Well, dormant spray is completely
from another tree, and we never sprayed.
Okay. Well, I'm just gonna say, dormant spray is completely organic. It is lime sulfur and a horticultural oil, and we put it on to control diseases and insects that love apple trees. So it might be that you've got something going on there, that you've got some apple maggots or some, it's hard to diagnose from a distance, but nevertheless, apples do need a certain amount of care if you want to maximize the fruit. If you want to just let them grow and be beautiful trees, that's an option too. Make sure that the soil, you don't have grass growing right up to the trunk of the tree so that the tree can access moisture and nutrient, top dress with organic matter, just all the things we do to grow our trees to be healthy. And then, like I said, if you want to maximize fruit, you're going to have to look more at things like nutrient pruning and perhaps some spraying in the spring. All right. Thanks, Virginia.
Okay. Yep. Thanks, Virginia, very much. We're going to jump right now to Hazel, who's calling from Lindsay. Welcome to the Garden Show, Hazel.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. What do you got there, Hazel?
We have a lot of emerald cedar trees on our property, mm-hmm. and they're dying because of, I assume, from the drought this summer.
Uh-huh.
But what we don't understand is some that we've been able to water quite consistently, they're green today, and maybe in a couple of days, they're just brown and gone. I don't know.
Okay. So you need to get out a magnifying glass or at least look more closely at those cedars. At this time of year, there are some insects, cedar mites. I'm just trying to double check. They will cause browning very quickly on cedar trees. They are a spider mite. Shake a branch over a white sheet of paper. You will see tiny red or dark red, tiny insects will fall onto your white sheet of paper. Signs of infestation include yellow foliage, speckling on the needles, webbing, horticultural oil, insecticidal soap. These are all things that are going to help you keep the plants as healthy as possible. How old are these cedars? Have they been there for quite a few years?
Well, some are 20 years old. Others are only about 5 years old.
Okay. But either way, they shouldn't, the drought, I mean, there's no question it's been very droughty. And if the soil was reasonable soil when they were planted, they wouldn't just die in a couple of days from, being watered and then turn yellow. I would look very closely for an insect.
Okay. And should we keep watering them though? Like at what point in the season should we stop watering them?
Very good question. What we should all be doing right now is thinking very seriously about winter's coming. And if there's no rain in the forecast, then we absolutely have to water our evergreens before freeze up. If the ground freezes, when there's been so little rain and the water table is so low, what will happen is that when it does snow and it does rain, the water will not penetrate the frozen soil. So it's really important that if we can water our evergreens, that we do. But what does that mean? That, generally that's the equivalent of about an inch or two of water per week from now until freeze up. So November. So that's on all of our schedules. If we have the water, get it onto the evergreens and get it on as deeply as you can right through till freeze up. Alrighty.
Okay. We're going to try and squeeze in one more caller. We have Grant on the line from Listowel. Welcome to the Garden Show, Grant.
Thank you. I'll make this as quick as I can. I have a problem with, very fine spider webs around my windows and anything where the sun shines on. And I can have them all cleaned off today and overnight in the morning. They're back again. Mm-hmm. Is there any anything I can use to control that you know?
Okay, so are you near water where you live, Grant? Like a body of water?
Well, no, not really. It is very cool. The thing is kept very cool. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I was just thinking because we did. Who was it? Somebody from Dunville, I think, called. We were talking a bit about spiders. When we live near, Lake Erie, exactly. It was Karen, when we live near bodies of water, like even where I live, I'm close to the Bay of Quinte, like infestations of spiders on the outside of houses, which of course also work their way inside houses, are endemic in this area. And this year has been a particularly big year for spiders because of the dryness. So what do you do? You can use just a strong spray of water and blow the webs down. But of course, you know, the spiders will come back. You can love your spiders because they're very good at catching things like mosquitoes and things we don't necessarily love. Or you could do what a lot of my neighbors do, is they call the spider removal people, and they have their houses sprayed with an insecticide. And the insecticide is to bring down the spider population. And some people will have their house sprayed two or three times a season because the spiders freak them out. I don't do that, but some people do. Thanks so much. It's a great question, Grant.
Thanks. And look at my goodness, we are at the end of our show again. It's been a busy one today.
Mere seconds, and boy, are you like banging those callers in, Dean. You're not, do I get a chance to breathe or what? thank you. Have a good week. I hope you're going to get a bit of a break because your voice sounds a bit tired. So look after yourself, Dean.
Will do.
Thank you, Owen. You have a real fun time at the wedding.
Will do.
Sing your little heart out. And thanks to all the great callers. What an interesting bunch of calls we got today from all over the province and
from
all over the map.
From spiders to amaryllis.
Exactly. Our favorite. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.